Good morning. How's everybody doing out there? Good, good. We have been going through a series on discipleship, a series that helps us to understand that we each have a discipleship responsibility in the presence of Jesus Christ in our life, but also it's not only a local responsibility, but it's a global responsibility. And today we're going to talk a little bit about that, but I want to recap a little bit, just kind of help bring it in perspective, especially if you have not been able to be here for all three sessions. The first week, we looked at Matthew chapter 28 as we focused upon the passage, developing the picture of what a disciple is as a Christ follower. And we learned that Jesus called men to follow him as they became students, learners, and apprentices, which is practiced in loving, learning, sharing, and modeling relationships. Okay. So we learned that we are disciples, we're learning, and we will continue to learn all of our life, but we have a responsibility to take that love that is given to us in Jesus Christ, to share it with others and model it in daily life so that others people will be drawn toward Jesus Christ. Then in week two, we looked at Mark chapter 3, and we learned that disciple-making happens in deliberate relationships over time through considerable connections. And it is realized in giving opportunities to practice so the disciple can inspire others to connect to Christ locally. Okay, so we have a responsibility in our community to share what we have already experienced in Jesus Christ so other people can understand the loving relationship that we have with Jesus Christ and they would be drawn to the Savior. Today, we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 6 and verse 10, to learn that a disciple is given power and authority. He proclaims the kingdom of God wherever he goes, and he gives an account of what Christ has done, not only in their life, but what he has done for all of humanity. Now, if you're like me, when I look at the global perspective, I get totally overwhelmed. It's a big world, isn't it? We can look at the Olympics that's taking place in the last couple weeks, and we see people from every nation, every tribe, every tongue, every culture, and we wonder, how in the world can we, as the people of Cool Spring Baptist Church, or how can I as an individual, have a global impact? It's daunting. In some people, it's even intimidating to think that God would call me, and he's got something for me to share. Boy, that's intimidating, but it can also bring fear out in us. To get up here and speak before you, it's not because of me, it's because of what Christ does in me. It's what Christ does when you have a relationship with somebody in your neighborhood or in your business or as you're called to work in places around the United States or even if God calls you in your business to go overseas. You have an obligation and you have a responsibility to share, and that can bring fear. But the good news is we can go to God's Word and we can learn something about what God has done to prepare us in discipleship. And I want us to go over to Luke chapter 9 and get to the right place here. Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 6, and then verse 10. And it says this: And he called the 12 together, and he gave them power and authority over all the demons and to heal diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healing. And he said this to them: Take nothing for your journey, neither a staff, nor a bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not even have two tunics apiece. And whatever house you enter, stay there, and take your leave from there. And as for those who do not receive you, as you go out from that city, shake off the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. And departing, they began going about among the villages, proclaiming the gospel and healing everywhere. And then in verse 10, And when the apostles returned, they gave an account to him of all that they had done, and taking them with him, he withdrew by himself to another city. One of the wonderful things that we learned as we studied Matthew chapter 28 on the first week, the verse says that Jesus said, All authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. And then he promised to go with them wherever they went. Jesus' authority came from the Father to be able to go and to share with all people, teaching them to observe all the things that he had told them. And he said, "Lo, I am with you always." But in this passage, as we look at Luke chapter 9, we see that Jesus gathers his 12 together, and he says to them, "I give you authority. Go." So all power and authority is transferred from the Father to the Son to the disciple. And so he gives us that promise to be able to go and to share. Now in Acts chapter 1, verses 5 and 8, Jesus commands his disciples to remain in Jerusalem so that they can be empowered through the Holy Spirit that would baptize them so that they could go, and as they received the Spirit, they would be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So he's promised to empower them not only from power on high, but also through the Holy Spirit's presence in our life as we have received it as a new believer to be able to go and to share boldly wherever we might be called. Now, there are a couple of things that comes with this power and authority. If you look over in Philippians 4, verse 13, Paul states, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." I can do all things. We're not limited in any way, shape, or form to be able to go and share Christ. And in 2 Timothy 4:17, it says, "But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me in order that I can proclaim that the proclamation might be fully accomplished and that all the Gentiles might hear." So we're told here in this place that the gospel was no longer just for the Jew, but also for the Gentile, and that they would have the power and the authority to be able to go to the othermost parts of the earth and to share what they have observed, what they had experienced with all peoples. But also the power and authority is also given that it might keep them in their faith. And in 2 Timothy 1:14 it says, "Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. For I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day." As we turn our life over to him, and as we are empowered through the Spirit, he says, "Guard yourself, and I will be with you as you go." But then also, when we look in Matthew chapter 10:1, it also says that having summoned his 12 disciples, he gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Now, in many places around the world, we find that they can't rely on doctors and nurses. And people who go in the name of Jesus are able to do extraordinary miracles in the name of Jesus as they present healings, as they cast out devils, as they demons, or the unclean spirits that are in them because of their belief in false gods. And we are given that kind of power as we go, to be able to do those kinds of things, to release people from the things that bind them to the earth, so that they can focus on heavenly things and can then be open to the power and presence of the Holy Spirit that will enter into their life. But then we go on in the verse, and on verses 2 and through 6, and it says that that he sent them out. Our study of Mark 3, 13 through 15 showed Jesus taking time to gather his disciples and to teach them as disciples so that they could inspire others to connect with Christ. And then again here in Luke chapter 9, verses 2 through 6, we see Jesus sending them out into villages to proclaim the kingdom of God. At this point in their life, the disciples were missing some key component parts. Think about it. As they go out, they're telling the story about Jesus and what God had done up in history until that point. But think about the story that they haven't heard yet. The cross. The resurrection. The coming of the Holy Spirit. Those pieces were yet unrevealed to them. They didn't know the ending of that story with the death and the resurrection of their Savior, Jesus Christ. Today, we as believers know the whole story. And so as we go, we can tell all the great things that God has done through Christ our Lord. Now, as we look at a global perspective and how we share the gospel, there's a tool that is used. And some of our youth are beginning to learn that right now as they make preparation for a summer trip. And it's something that is used frequently, and it's called creation to the cross. A series of stories that can be told to help people to understand the relationship that God wants to have with his disciples and with believers all around the globe. I'm going to give you an abbreviated version of that now, just to kind of help you understand that God has been involved in your life since the beginning of time. So we find in the creation story in Genesis 1:1 that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If you're like me, if you were out late last night and you looked up into the heavens, it was a clear night. The stars were beyond the ability to count. They were glorious to watch. But with a telescope, we can look out there and say the creation of God is beyond our imagination. And then the story of the Bible goes on to say that God created every living thing that is upon this planet Earth. And when he was done with each one of them, he said, "It was good. This is a good thing that I have created." Then he decided that I'm going to create man, and I'm going to create man in my image so that I can have a relationship with mankind. And so he created Adam and Eve, and they walked upon the earth together, kind of like a mother or a father to a child. He walked with them and he talked with them, and they had a great relationship. And he gave them some guidelines. Don't eat of the tree of the good and evil of knowledge. Don't eat of that tree. Everything else is good for you, but don't eat of that. And woman was tempted by the serpent, and she succumbed to his trickery, and she ate of the fruit, and so did Adam. And in disobedience, the relationship was severed, no longer to be quite the same, and they hid themselves from God. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Aren't there times in our life when we hide ourselves from God because our relationship is broken, or other relationships in our life and they are broken? But the story doesn't end there, because centuries later, there was a man called Abraham. And God called out to Abraham and he said, "Abraham, I want you to be my follower. I want you to focus upon your relationship with the one true God, leaving behind your culture, leaving behind your belief in other gods, and I want you to follow me and go to a land of promise. And as you go, you will be a blessing to all nations. As I bless you, you will bless other people." And so he followed the Lord, and he went to the promised land. But at one point in his journey, Abraham was asked by God to take his only son, Isaac, and to sacrifice him upon the altar as a sacrifice to God. And in his obedience, Abraham went to the altar, and he was about ready to sacrifice Isaac. And God said, "No, I will give you another sacrifice, a ram. You have been obedient unto me, and you have followed me. And so you will be a blessing unto the nations." This to me is a foretaste of what God's relationship is with us, as he desires us to worship him and worship him only. To follow him and follow him only. But it's also the fact that he has a plan for the ultimate salvation of mankind in the giving of his son, Jesus, on the cross. And so we go to the New Testament and we look at Jesus and we know the scriptures well. For it says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord," Luke 2:11. And then moving on, it says that God sent his only Son into the world to be the Savior of the world. And John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but they would have eternal life." And then we see in Ephesians 2:9, it says, "Salvation comes by faith in Jesus and not by works, lest anyone should boast of his accomplishments." For faith is what saves us. Faith in God and faith in the fact that he sent his son to be the Savior of the world. And we can work at it all we want to, but we can't earn our salvation. Righteousness comes through faith in Christ. And then over in 1 Peter 1 through 3, it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." And then in Luke 9:1, as we read earlier, Jesus gets his disciples and he says, "The power that was mine from the Father is now yours. Go into the world and share." And then in 1 Corinthians 12:13, it says, "Every believer is given a gift, a spiritual gift for the building up of the body of Jesus Christ as a testimony to the world that God lives and he abides in the life and the believer, of the believer and of the church, and that each one of us is given a purpose under God to share with the whole world." And then in Acts 1:8 it says, "You have been commissioned to go into the world to share this story." We all have a personal testimony if we're a believer, because God has taken brokenness in our life and he has brought it to healing and to forgiveness because of what he did on the cross. And the hope that is ours in the resurrection, that we can have eternal life with God Almighty forever. But when we look at it from a global perspective, it's a little bit overwhelming. And if you're, like I say, for me, it's really hard to get my whole mind around what it is to have a global strategy. So what I want to do is try to bring it into focus. Because we at Cool Spring Baptist Church have been involved in missions for a long time, but we have decided that beginning this year, that we're going to start bringing our focus down into an unreached people group that we're going to share with as disciples of Jesus Christ. Now, we as a church have been involved with the International Mission Board of Southern Baptist Convention since its beginning. And we give money through the cooperative program and through the Lottie Moon Christmas offering to support 2,000 missionaries that serve all over the world. We have relationships, personal relationships with some of them, but is that enough? We also have relationships with some non-IMB personnel that we help to support in the ministries that they're involved in, but is that enough? So our missions team decided last year that we would start a 5-year partnership with the Ocean to Ocean Cluster, which is located in the sub-Saharan region of Africa. Those countries that are involved in that are Madagascar, Namibia, Zimbabwe, Zambia, South Africa, and Botswana. It's a pretty big area, isn't it? There's a lot of unreached people groups in that section. So we already have an influence in some of those areas. In Madagascar, the Berry family. He is the brother of Brian Berry. And our disciples class has a personal relationship with them and is praying for them as they continue to minister. The Robertson family is in South Africa, and the Sister Act class has a personal relationship with them, and Kathy Carter is related to them. Then we have Ramona Beam, and we met her last week as she gets ready to go back to Zimbabwe and Botswana to serve the Lord. We have a relationship with her. Then the McBrides are serving in Zambia, and they serve in an orphanage there, and we support them. And he is the son of Claire McBride. We also have the Genesis class that is sponsoring them. Then the Davis family, and we're all pretty familiar with the Davis family because of Dennis Goins. It's her brother. And he is the director of all of this region called Ocean to Ocean Cluster. So we have a direct relationship with them as we begin this new partnership that will last 5 years with 3 to 5 teams going per year of 3 to 5 people. Does that sound like a daunting task? It really isn't. You think about the different gifts in this body of Christ. We have the capability of sending many, many, many groups of people to go and to share in that area. But that's not really quite narrow enough yet. So what we've done is we have adopted the unreached people group called the Tswana people. Okay, I'm going to say that one more time, then I'm going to get you to say it. Tswana. Can you roll that off your tongue? Let's try it. Tswana. The Tswana people group. And they're located in southern Botswana and in northern South Africa. Their tribe doesn't know boundaries in nations. That's the predominant area where they live, and most of them are unreached for Christ. But that's not quite close enough in our circle of influence. So we have been in touch with missionaries Brent and Amanda Turner, who serve among the Tswana people. And we are going to start a relationship with them to find out about their culture, to learn about what their needs are. How do we reach this people group for Christ? But we've also begun a relationship with Calvary Baptist Church, which is a national congregation of believers in a town called Moli Pololi. That's one word. Moli Pololi. Now I'm going to ask you to say that with me. Moli Pololi. Moli Pololi. You're going to hear that frequently. It's the second largest village or town in Botswana. Now, the Calvary Baptist Church lives on one side of the town. And on the other side of the town, there's a large group of people who have no spiritual witness. They have no church. There is no discipleship. And so combined with the Turners and the pastor of the national church, their passionate desire is to begin to start discipling the other side of town, across the tracks, if you will, because they have no witness. And we have decided as a congregation that we're going to begin our focus to narrow it down to the Tswana people, to the unreached people group of Moli Pololi, and we're going to see what God has envisioned for this church and for that people group. So we'll begin the process of doing that. And how are we going to do it? First of all, we've decided to start a task force made up of 7 people who are going to create the vision to understand this people group and find out how do we go about reaching this people that we don't know? How do we train people to go on the field and share Christ? And then how do we plan trips to get people together to go and be a witness for Jesus Christ in Moli Pololi, Botswana? That team is going to be made up of Delia Brown, Joyce Hawkins, Barbara Woods, Steve Donovan, Mo Feliciano, and Rachel Goins. Amazingly, some of them have already been to Botswana and actually have been in Moli Pololi and have served among the Tswana people. So we can take the collective gifts that they have for missions and learn from them and move forward with a plan for how to reach those folks. The next step for us after creating that team is to get a vision team together to go and actually walk the streets of Moli Pololi to pray for the people there, to look for the persons of peace where the Spirit is already moving, where we can begin the process of relating to the folks and getting to know who they are and to begin to disciple them. Thank you. It's good to have brothers who look out for you. So we've created a vision team. The vision team was created for the purpose of having people who have a passion for missions, but also have the capacity for leading groups in the future to go. Because I envision within Cool Spring Baptist Church, we could have medical teams to go, discipling teams to go, prayer teams to go, recreation teams to go, and different ministries within Cool Spring Baptist Church that would go in small groups to help this national church, but also to help the missionaries to accomplish the goal of reaching and making disciples for Christ in that area. The vision team is made up of Brian Dupuy, Greg English, Tyler English, and Shane Stanlick. And I'm going to ask them to come up for a moment. They leave on Tuesday. They'll be flying out from here and going directly to Johannesburg, South Africa, catching another flight and going into Botswana, where they will begin to meet with the national pastor, to meet with the Turners, the missionaries. They'll start prayer walking in the area, and then they're going to begin to develop a vision for what it is that Christ is going to have us do as a congregation as we serve in that area. Part of this vision has been coming on for a long time. And as Minister of Missions, it's been a joy to serve with a lot of people to help bring this to this point. We're also in the process of a transition within ministry. And my ministry as Minister of Missions is now going to go to Brian Dupuy. Brian is taking over the beginning of April to continue the vision, the training, and the sending of people from Cool Spring Baptist Church to the uttermost parts of the earth. I have full confidence in him as a missionary and as a minister of the gospel to carry forward those things that have been created already as I go on to a different role here at Cool Spring Baptist Church. And so these four guys are going to head out, and they're going to act on your behalf and on behalf of Jesus Christ to learn and to come back and to share what things that God is doing and how we can be involved. And before they go, though, I want us to pray for them. So if you would, let's all pray, and let's ask God's power and presence with them as they go. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you allow us to be your witnesses of the great things that you have done in our lives. So I pray, Father, that you would go with Greg, you would go with Brian, that you would go with Shane, that you would go with Tyler, that you would go ahead of them and that you empower them to have eyes that are wide open, that they can see the wonders that are already beginning to happen because we're praying for the Tswana people and the folks of Moli Pololi. Help them, Lord, to know in their very being what it is that we as Cool Spring Baptist Church can do to reach this unreached people group, to be disciples as you have called us to go, so we send them, that they may be your witnesses to this people group. So, Father, we thank you for their willingness to go, and we ask, Lord, that you would open our hearts, that we would pray for them as they leave this Tuesday to witness on behalf of Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys. We appreciate it. Now, believe it or not, we've already been involved, and this is Team 1. The second team that we'll be leaving will be this summer. We have over 40 youth, high school students, college students, and adults who will be going to Prince Albert, South Africa, where they will be involved in a ministry to the neighborhoods of Prince Albert. It's called World Changers. As they get involved in that ministry, the plan is, or the hope is that after going this year, next year, something similar can happen, but in Moli Pololi, or in the area, or in the region of the Tswana people. So they will be discipled this summer, and they will begin discipling other folks. And then next year, we will have more people to go, but hopefully among our people group, because they've already learned how to do this. This is in another important piece to the puzzle, and we'll need a third trip by the fall. So be aware, you're going to hear about it, and maybe God will call some of you to be involved. But you have already been a blessing to the people in Moli Pololi, and maybe don't even know it. To this afternoon at 11 o'clock, we're going to have families gathering together in the fellowship hall, and they're going to be putting together the buckets of hope through the Baptist Global Response, which will be medical supplies from money that you've contributed and also donated some of the medical supplies. Those buckets will be put together, they'll be taken to the IMB, and magically 50 buckets of hope will show up among the Tswana people to be a blessing to those folks. And when our folks go, they'll see the result of what God has started because you have put these buckets together. Another ministry that we have is Eyeglasses for Missions. And this week we're going to send out buckets of glasses that you've donated. They're going to go to an eye doctor in Georgia who is going to take them with him to Bulawayo in Zimbabwe. And he will distribute them among the people there. I went there a number of years ago, and when I was in actually Bulawayo, I was in a meeting of believers, and I saw something that struck my heart. An older lady got up in front of a WMU group, and she started sharing about Jesus. But before she started sharing, she had a younger person from that congregation to get up, open the Bible, and read it. And then she began telling the story. And it dawned on me. She was an older lady, probably over 40, and she couldn't read because she had no glasses. And I think about leaders, Christian leaders that are around the world who can't open God's word and read it and declare it before this people because their eyesight has gone bad. And I thought, wow, what a way to begin a ministry so that they can be discipled on into their elder lives so that they can be a blessing to younger disciples in the church. So these glasses will be going to Bulawayo, where Ramona Beam will be leaving in just a couple weeks. And she will see the fruits of that as those glasses are dispersed around in the villages and towns in that country. We have a great opportunity to go and to celebrate the things that God has done. And as we look in verse 10, it says that he asked the disciples to come back together again so they could celebrate all the things that they had seen. As we share about the kingdom of God, we are going to be blessed far beyond measure, because we're going to realize our dependence on God. We're going to realize that God goes before us and empowers us when we make ourselves open to share the good news that we have heard about the kingdom of God. It's a simple story. It's easy to share. It's a story that is in our heart because as believers, we have experienced him and we can share. So how do we go about it from here? Let me make some suggestions of ideas that you can begin from today. You, in effect, can be a circle maker. Look at where your sphere of influence is, or your circle of influence is, and narrow the vision. Circle your community. Circle the people that God's putting in your path and begin praying for them. Circle Southern Africa, but circle the Tswana people in your life and start praying for them. But Moli Paloli, start circling that area and start praying specifically that God will move among the people. And then as we send folks, they can come back with stories that are miraculous because God has made it happen and not we in our own strength. So get to know the Tswana people. Google it. I dare you. Go find out about Moli Paloli. Find out about Botswana. Start to learn a little bit about what's going on among the people group. Find out and pray that the Spirit of God will begin to move among them so that when the disciples go to share, they will know which houses to go to, where to stay, where to disciple, and if not, shake the dust off their feet and move on to where God already is. Pray for the missionaries in the national congregation that God will use them in very unique ways. Now, ask God if he wants you to go. God may be stirring in your hearts right now. Somebody may say, hey, that's what God wants me to do on a global basis. But also open up your heart as to whether or not what God has in store for you as a disciple of Jesus Christ to share where you live and where you have an influence. Oh, did I say get your passport ready? Also, you can give. I think about the fact that 40 young people will be going to learn what it means to be a disciple in a foreign country at somewhere in the neighborhood of $2,000 to $3,000 per person. It's going to take a lot of resources to get them there so that they can be his witness into the uttermost parts of the earth. And you can give through the green envelope that we have out there for missions. That money all goes into a pool that the missions team disperses out so that folks can have the resources they need. The missions team decided to take some of those resources and send these four so that they wouldn't have to worry about the cost. That they would go on our behalf using those funds that have been graciously donated by you, the congregation here at Cool Spring, so that they could go. But we need to send others. You can participate in mission activities like the Buckets of Hope. And there will be many of things like that that we will do that will bless the people in Moli Paloli and in the Ocean to Ocean cluster as we continue a partnership for the next 5 years. As we conclude today, I want to tell you a story that happened to me just a couple weeks ago. I was invited by one of our members to go to the south side of Richmond to a place called the Wellness Center. The Wellness Center is...